The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Portions of the following program have been pre-recorded. KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. He is an Army veteran.
Duty, honor, country.
And former district attorney for Colorado's 18th Judicial District.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Most important, he's a father and a proud American.
Americans love a winner.
He is George Brockler. And this is The George Show on News Talk 710 KNUS.
I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Everything that guy just says, bull.
Second hour, Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler this morning. Bookending here on 710 KNUS. I'll be back as well, 5 to 7 tonight. Be sure to tune in then. It's going to be a great show. First, Priscilla Ron, the new vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party. She is a 27-year public school educator. She's been a teacher, a principal. She's done so many things in schools in multiple states, not just Colorado. She's currently a public school music teacher, and she is a master teacher, which means she's like one of, I think, 1% of teachers that actually get this ranking. And she is an advocate for school choice. She wrote an article on the importance of school choice in a publication. I think it's the Ranchland News in Elbert County that I thought was great. And I said, hey, I want to have you on. So she'll be on tonight's show to talk about that in the first hour. In the second hour, look, folks, Denver Public Schools, Douglas County Schools, right now they are incorporating increasingly critical race theory and the ideas of equity, that is equal outcomes, not equality of opportunity, into their educational system. Now, I don't mean necessarily into the curriculum, although there is some of that, but into their value system, into how they are approaching teachers and saying, this is how we want you to teach. For example, just as a little tease, because tonight I'm going to speak with Angela Ramirez, who is an investigative journalist who's dug in to this exact topic in both Denver Public Schools and Douglas County Schools, and a father named Will Johnson, who is a dad in Dugco Schools, about what's happening there, what's happening in our Colorado schools. And also we'll talk with Nikki Neely, who is president of Parents Defending Education, about Biden trying to bring critical race theory more into our school system across the country by using a grant program of $1 billion, $1 billion, dangling that money out there. And then, of course, having the strings attached to it that always come with federal funds to do things relative to equity, again, equality of outcome and critical race theory. We really explore this. We're going to really explore this tonight on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, the 6 p.m. hour on 710 KNUS. But here is a taste. Dugco Schools spent $36,900 on seminars, professional development from a company called the Gemini Group. And, well, just take a listen to one little piece, and we'll dive into this tonight, of how they're defending the idea of critical race theory concepts in schools and the idea of the value of the school district.
To be able to stand on the fact that now this is a value of the district where you work, right? The school board passed a resolution about equity not that long ago, thanks to folks on this Zoom call. Mm-hmm. It's a value. And so we are responsive to the value of the organization where we work, and the expectation that this is how we will inform and educate our children. So you might have a different thinking process, but this is how the school district where your children attend educate your children. This is a value that's important.
This is the value that's important. You might have a different thinking process, but this is the value of the school district. They paid I've reviewed the contract, $36,900 to this Gemini group to say things like that on multiple occasions in different workshops and seminars. I wrote about this in my column for the Denver Gazette yesterday, my weekly column entitled Equity Elbows Out Education in Our Schools. Talk about that tonight, but I want to bring up one thing here before I leave this topic of equity, and that is the whole notion of equity and what it really means. And that is the idea of equality of outcomes. The United States of America was founded upon the principle of equal opportunity for all. It doesn't mean that we lived up to that principle early on or that we have ever fully achieved that principle. We certainly weren't when we had the evil institution of slavery at the founding and for decades beyond the founding of the country. But that doesn't mean that the principle wasn't there, just like there were many other saving principles, to use Frederick Douglass's phrase, that the United States was built upon, embodied and enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, saving principles. But the idea was always, let's give people a fair shot. Let's level the playing field, especially when it comes to education. Let's make sure that every child has the opportunity to succeed. They have the tools, the resources, and the support. And now you have this idea, this ethos of equity, which you can never achieve real equity. Honestly, you cannot achieve equal outcomes. It's impossible. You can only level the playing field. Different people will have different strengths, different weaknesses, aptitudes for certain things. They will have different interests that help drive their passions. And you cannot put them into a box and say, we're just going to try and strive for equal outcomes, which is clearly a socialist concept of equality of outcome. Let's make sure that the results are equal, which means we have to treat people unequally. Which, again, the idea, literally, equal protection under the laws is enshrined in the 5th and 14th Amendments of the Constitution. Equal protection under the laws, equal treatment under the laws. That is the principle here. And they want to override that principle. But I want to give you an anecdote. So, of course, I'm a harmonica player and I perform. I'm in the band, the Lap Dogs. We had a great gig last Saturday night, by the way. And I have a lot of fun playing harmonica. But for years, I took guitar lessons. But here's the thing. I never had a real aptitude for it that drove my passions to the point where I was disciplined enough to keep practicing. I took guitar lessons 5th grade through high school, and I cannot play a bit now. Literally cannot. And it's because I didn't have that aptitude enough to drive me to practice enough. But I asked my guitar teacher when I was in 8th grade. I said, hey, Ryan, can you please teach me a little bit of harmonica? Because I know that you know a little bit of harp. So can you teach me how to play just a couple things? So he taught me a couple things, and then it grew from there. And I would, 8th grade, I would walk back from school, and I would be practicing the harmonica or, you know, whenever I could get the chance. And I just play by feel, kind of learn my way around the instrument. And I had more of an aptitude for it. And now not many people play the harmonica, and I can go around and I can play. I've got the skill set enough to be able to enjoy it. don't ask me to do a guitar solo or just make something up on the spot like I just did there on the harmonica. Now, if you had me continue guitar lessons in a group setting and said, we're going to make sure that everybody, we strive for everybody to have an equal outcome so they can all be equally good at guitar, a couple things are going to happen. One, you're going to be focusing on making sure that everybody is doing okay to the point where they are on the same wavelength and they're about the same skill set. And people who are more advanced, well, they're not going to get the attention that they would need. They're not going to get more advanced lessons or songs to play. They're going to be expected to do the level thing like everybody else, to be on that same level with the people who are less good at guitar, don't have as much of an aptitude for it. And then what's going to happen, number two, to the people who are advanced and are in that class, they might get kind of bored and disinterested in guitar because it's not fun. It's not interesting. They're not able to do that. And I think we have to keep in mind that people are different and they're going to have different interests. They're going to have different strengths. They're going to have different weaknesses. And we should respect that. We should appreciate that. And yet this idea of equity throws that out the window. And just keep in mind, here is a specific example of that. In California schools, now their state standards, they're looking at eliminating advanced math in middle school. Reason: in the name of equity, California will discourage students who are gifted at math. They have a hundreds of pages long draft framework with an overriding concern of inequity, addressing inequity. All students deserve powerful mathematics. We reject ideas of natural gifts and talents. The belief that I treat everyone the same is insufficient. Active efforts in mathematics teaching are required in order to counter the cultural forces that have led to and continue to perpetuate current inequities. So students have to be treated the same in terms of outcomes. You have to try and strive for equal outcomes. And that means that you treat people differently based on their circumstances, based on their race, based on whatever, in order to achieve that sort of mediocrity. And mediocrity is not what we should be striving for in our kids' education. If education is about setting up students for success, how is it virtuous or fair to force universal mediocrity upon them in pursuit of ideology? It's not fair. And it is the bridging of this cultural shift that we're seeing, largely stemming from college campuses, onto the economics, where now you have, from critical race theory, racial motivations for certain policies to achieve certain outcomes, and that's where the economics come into play. It is an absurd way to look at the world, and unfortunately, it's increasingly in our K-12 education. So tonight on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, we're going to dive into that in some depth with some tremendous guests. Be sure to check that out, 5 to 7 tonight here on 710 KNUS. You're listening to Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler. So I'm so struck by what we have seen in terms of the Biden administration and the crises that we are seeing nonstop with this administration. You know all that we're talking about, from the energy crisis that we just had in this country to the economic malaise that we've got that is ongoing, to the foreign policy crisis. You know, he's trying to take credit for Egypt brokering a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, but it was Egypt that is actually responsible for it, that brokered that peace deal or that ceasefire, not what Biden's doing. They did that successfully in spite of Joe Biden. The foreign policy situation, Donald Trump, absolutely incredible what he achieved, unprecedented in the Middle East in terms of bringing countries like Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates to the table and then to signing an agreement, the Abraham Accords, with Israel. Truly remarkable, truly historic. And Biden is doing everything he can to undo it. Now, thankfully, I think it's solid enough where he won't undo the good that President Trump accomplished with his administration in that regard. But boy, is he trying for it. But the foreign policy crisis is one. The other with the economy. We actually had a president in Donald Trump who was focused on the idea of getting people back to work, getting people prospering again. And instead, with Joe Biden, we have a president who wants to continue the jobless benefits that are discouraging people from going to work. Larry Kudlow had Senate Majority Leader, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on Fox Business a day or two ago, and they talked about this exact point.
But the bottom line really is that overly generous federal cash payments are keeping folks at home and probably slowing down the recovery. And my question is, can we get rid of this?
Well, 22 states have said keep the extra bonus from the federal government. It's actually impeding our ability to get people back to work. I heard you talking about that. You're absolutely right. A couple of weeks ago, I spent the whole week at home talking to business people. Two big problems. Number one, can't get people back to work. Number two, and this is really interesting, Larry, Larry Summers, Bill Clinton's Secretary of the Treasury and President Obama's head of the Council of Economic Advisors, predicted big inflation problems as a result of this rescue package that the Democrats jammed through on a party-line vote, producing both people not wanting to work and raging inflation.
Yeah. And here you go. People don't want to work. And it's not quite inflation, but we do have prices rising on certain goods and commodities. Gasoline certainly is an example. But what happens when you have a president who believes that the all-knowing, all-powerful federal government has an obligation to take care of people? Well, he continues to provide benefits that outweigh what a worker might get if they actually went back to work. And that's what we are seeing increasingly, which is why it is great to see 22 states or so that are saying, nope, we're not going to continue with the jobless benefits, because it's discouraging people from getting back to work. Bottom line, we need to rev up this economy. And the way to do it is to get off the backs of people, reopen in states all across the country, not have the government getting in the way. And to get rid of this nonsense talk about let's dramatically increase regulations, let's hire 87,000 more IRS agents so that they can snoop into everybody's bank financial transactions. And let's raise taxes dramatically in this economy. No, that kind of talk turns people away from creating jobs, from generating opportunity. And alas, that's where we are now with the Biden team in power. And hopefully Republicans will be willing and able to hold the line on so many of those things. And that's just the economic side of this thing. Then you've got what they're trying to do with H.R. 1 and S. 1 when it comes to elections at the federal level. Let's nationalize elections. Meanwhile, states like Florida and Georgia and others are advancing election integrity bills that are totally being warped in terms of the media and how they're presenting what's really going on in those states. When we come back, I'm going to talk about that. We got a couple of clips that are just, they're not surprising at all. To give you a taste of what's going on in the land of MSNBC and CNN, places like that, when they're talking about the efforts to expand election integrity protections in these states and presenting all sorts of misinformation and disinformation about it. We're going to dive into that topic. Give us a call, 303-696-1971. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler, News Talk 710 KNUS.
George Brockler, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning, Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler on News Talk 710 KNUS. So great to be with you this morning. Bookending on the station, of course, the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. Be sure to tune in for that. Okay, let's talk about election stuff. Let's talk about the January 6th commission here in just a moment. But first, John in Denver has been waiting patiently at 303-696-1971. John, what's going on?
Hey, Jimmy, the whole guitar and harmonica reminded me of Bob Dylan, maybe Neil Young.
Mm-hmm. But could do both.
I really enjoyed that. Yes, I did. And boy, elections have consequences. I'm a landlord here in Denver. I have 6 houses, live in 1, rent out 5.
Ooh.
My tenants learned through the Democratic Joe Biden administration that they no longer had to pay me rent. And when they went to collect it, they said, we don't have to pay rent. And they gave me CDC declaration page saying that we don't have to pay you. So I took it to court, filed a FED action in Arapahoe County Court, which is an eviction for non-payment of rent. The judge magistrate stayed the action until June 30th. So I have gone six months without rent.
Wow.
And possibly 7.
Oh, John.
And I can't get the people out. And now with Joe Biden's wisdom of paying people to stay at home.
Wisdom.
Not just state unemployment compensation, an additional $600 per week. My deadbeat tenants are making more doing nothing than they are in the low-level entry occupations of clerks. And so they have no incentive to work. Now, with the Joe Biden Democratic Socialist regime in control, they're considering paying people in the month of May to go back to work. I think it's $1,200 if you go back to
Polis.
Work in the month
Polis
of May.
This is Polis. Polis is doing this. $1,600 and then $1,200. Yeah, it's Polis.
In the month of June, another additional financial. They're bribing people to go back to work.
I know.
And it's totally ridiculous. Our country's being hijacked by this central control. More government equals less freedom. And what's...
John, you've been cutting in and out a little bit there, so I apologize.
Oh, okay. I'll slow down.
I think it's wherever you're at, maybe just a little bit weak on the cell spot. But let me jump in here and say, first of all, I feel for you. And second of all, I was talking about this last year when the eviction moratorium happened. I think it was Colorado Politics where I wrote a column about it and was saying, look, this is going to hurt people, not just these tenants when eventually the bill comes due, because they will either end up going through eviction or they're going to be forced to pay eventually. But meanwhile, it is landlords like yourself who are stuck in this bind indefinitely with seemingly no end in sight, having to pay for your mortgage, not getting in the revenue that you're supposed to get. And the problem is, or the big thing that the left likes to paint is, as though landlords are all the big, rich, evil guys, especially the big apartment complexes that can afford all of this. They forget that there are a hell of a lot of guys like John in Denver who own these properties and are renting them out. And then you're left holding the bag because they forget that you actually are a small business guy doing your thing, providing people with housing in exchange for rent, and you're not getting paid, and you still have to pay the bills.
That's exactly correct. Government interference means less freedom for the Americans. Americans are nonconformists. You cannot tell an American what to wear, where to go, how you can do it, what you have to wear to go buy groceries, have to mask up to function in our society.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, John, here's the thing. Not only is it horrible to you, but frankly, it's horrible to those tenants, too, to any tenant, because they are giving them the false impression that they just don't have to pay rent and never will have to pay rent. And then eventually you'll go through the eviction process and they'll either be evicted or they will somehow magically pay up.
No, no. I filed a JDF 98, which does not give them an option to cure.
Okay.
A JDF 97 gives the tenant option to pay or quit. I just want them out of there.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Thank you for clarifying that. I'm with you. And I don't blame you at all. I think you're doing exactly what you should do, because this is just the perversion. To your point about government interference, it is perverse for the government to get involved or interfere with contractual agreements that
exactly.
that are in place and to do so indefinitely. This was an ad hoc. Let's just do a unilateral order on the part of the president or on the part of the governor. Where do they get off on that sort of idea that they can go tell John that no, you can't get your rent? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I think is that most politicians have no experience in the free market society, which in order to succeed, you have to be innovative. You have to be competitive. There's no competition for politicians except the cyclical elections, and boy, they have consequences. I was disillusioned when this country was so stupid not to reelect Trump. I mean, going from Trump to Biden is like,
yeah,
like going from the NFL to Little League football. It's unbelievable.
Not even Little League football. We're talking flag football. That's how low we've fallen. No offense to the little kids who were just learning football.
And if I was negotiating for a country, I would much rather have a master negotiator than some guy who can't remember distinguish from his wife, from his sister. I just don't understand how he got elected.
Oh, my gosh. He also, the other day, he mixed up the G5 and 5G. Mix that up. I mean, yeah. That's just the nature of the beast with this guy. Go ahead,
one
John.
Side note, I grew up in the 50s in elementary school where there was a flag in every corner. We started with the Pledge of Allegiance fresh out of the war when there was no division in our country. We were all on the same side. And I believe that our minds are being hijacked by screen time. And I've witnessed it with my grandchildren and my everyone's on their screen and our attention span is being diminished. Flipping through images, not being satisfied, the inability to concentrate on one subject.
Yeah.
And I walk into a room and everyone's staring at their phones, walking down the street, mesmerized. And
you've hit on something very important in terms of culture that could take us in a whole other conversational direction. But let me tell you, brother, I appreciate you calling in, talking about your story. I wish you the best of luck. I hope things work out for you. This is the destruction of government. This really is where, in the name of providing for people, of protecting people, of ensuring that they can stay afloat, they do so much more harm.
Look, I'm right in my place.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions, John, and this is a prime example. Best of luck to you, brother. Thanks for calling in. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. Look, John is one of many, many examples of landlords in this state and in this country who are small business guys. Maybe they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 properties like John that he's renting out. They're not what the left paints the picture of. Rarely ever do we see the left paint a picture of anybody in this economy or in this society that matches up with what they're describing, how they're laying it out. And that was a great call. That was a very prime example. And his point about society today is very pointed as well. 303-696-1971, our telephone number if you want to join in to the festivities. Stacey Abrams is constantly talking about GOP voter suppression, and here she is doing exactly that about Georgia and Florida and Texas and these state laws that are supposedly suppression, when really they're pretty on the mark when it comes to ensuring greater election integrity.
Well, let's be clear. This is not the sua sponte decision of various state legislatures who've been wrestling over these decisions and suddenly decided to respond. This is a coordinated attack on our democracy by Heritage Action, by the Republican National Committee, by the Big Lie and all of its purveyors. And this is their next attempt to undermine our democracy. And so, yes, they're going after the voters. They're going after the process, and they're going after the remedy. Because when you get through the entire gauntlet, if the last vestige of support for democracy are our courts, they're going to try to take power away there.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. I don't think I can hear any more Stacey Abrams. Here's the narrative. The Republican Party in each of these states that is trying to advance new election integrity bills, they're really engaging in voter suppression. And that dovetails in with January 6th and the fact that Republicans in Congress, for the most part, do not want to have a standalone commission, an independent commission to look into the Capitol riot. And it's all under the same rubric, and they're tying in race, and this dovetails into with critical race theory. It dovetails in with equity. It dovetails all the things that we've been talking about today. They're not mutually exclusive. It's all part of a collective narrative. But this January 6th commission, the left is trying to say that, oh, we need the commission, and if you oppose the commission, that you are simply perpetuating the big lie, and you are undermining everything in this country, and you are showing that you don't want to get to the bottom of it because you know that the Republicans are going to be found culpable. Which makes you wonder, what are the real motivations of the left, if not politics? Couple of great pieces I entreat you to check out. Earlier this week, the editorial for the Wall Street Journal talked about the January 6th Narrative Commission, and there's a piece for Newsweek by Ben Weingarten from just yesterday, January 6th Commission or Wrong Think Inquisition. Look, I was absolutely stunned and shocked and abhorred by what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. There is no excuse for it. I'm glad that they are arresting perpetrators and addressing what happened at the Capitol. But we also have to remember that the people who weren't doing the incursion on the Capitol, but were there in D.C., they were exercising their rights to freedom of speech. Whether you agree with what they were saying or not, they were, and they were doing so peacefully, the vast majority of people who were there. So this January 6th commission, you know, in the past, when we were looking into major incidents that happened on American soil, you had bipartisan support because, as the journal points out, an independent commission could be useful and has been in the past if it answered outstanding questions and agreed on a common set of facts about events. The Capitol Police and law enforcement haven't been forthcoming with key details, such as the role the police played in letting rioters enter the building, or the circumstances of the killing of protester Ashley Babbitt, or what they know about who planned what. As the journal says about Nancy Pelosi, her goal here is to drive her narrative that the riot was a planned attempted coup and to run on that theme to keep the House in 2022. She tipped her ambitions when she first proposed a commission with 7 members appointed by Democrats and 4 Republicans, some bipartisan commission. That was her original proposal. Then over at Ben Weingarten's piece for Newsweek, just a tidbit because we got to run to a break. This bill, that's proposed should make all Americans of all political stripes shudder. Yes, the bill hypes as a domestic terrorist attack an event which, mercifully, the sole person killed was a protester shot by Capitol Police. The majority of those charges were hit with essentially trumped up trespassing offenses, and none of those charged were carrying firearms. Julie Kelly's dogged reporting in American Greatness has compellingly laid waste this narrative, which the Department of Justice's own prosecutorial struggles help confirm as disingenuous. The proposed commission is to be charged with investigating and reporting upon, in part, the influencing factors that fomented such an attack on American representative democracy while engaged in a constitutional process. In pursuit of this effort, it may secure directly from any federal department or agency information, including any underlying information that may be in the possession of the intelligence community, that is necessary to enable it to carry out its purposes and functions. What is the danger here? We'll get to that on the other side of the break that we need to take. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Now, back to George Brockler, News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver's local talk leader.
You know, when I filled in for George, Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler this morning, back on, what, I think it was May 1st, this song came in, and I was wanting to figure out the key, and I searched it. I think it was A-flat. And I just ordered the flat harmonica, so I will have a full set, and I'd be able to play along with that song at some point in the future. Welcome back. Good to be with you. News Talk 710 KNUS. Having a great time this morning, top of the hour. Mayor Mike Kaufman of Aurora will join us to talk about, he's going to be in studio, we're going to talk about his proposed camping ban in the city of Aurora. You do not want to miss this. He's been getting a lot of attention on this all over the place. I want to get back, though, to this topic about the January 6th commission that the Democrats are really angling for, and they're trying to say, oh, Republicans know that they're going to look bad if they do this commission, and therefore they want to stop it. They want to thwart it in its tracks, even though there are a lot of basic facts we don't know or agree upon that you actually typically have, as the Wall Street Journal points out, when you launch a independent commission like this. But I want to get back to Ben Weingarten, who makes a very important point. He says this commission would give partisans the ability to use the full powers of the federal government to investigate their wrong-thinking political foes. Influencing factors that fomented such an attack, in quotes, that's from the bill, are, of course, virtually limitless. Are you a politician who dared question the legitimacy of any aspect whatsoever of the 2020 presidential election? Are you a think tank that pointed out any of the anomalies in that contest? Are you a law firm that litigated against state executives and administrators who made election law over and above state legislatures themselves? Are you a media organization that printed stories covering these themes, or a social media maven who promoted them? Why would we assume anything other than all of the above and more would end up in the commission's crosshairs? That is a great point. And look, I said it before, Randy Corcoran's coming up at 9. He and I have a deep disagreement about this election. I think, my view, Joe Biden's the legitimately elected president of the United States, which is not mutually exclusive from there are a lot of problems with the 2020 election, which is why I'm supportive, broadly speaking, of the bills that Republican legislatures across the country are putting into place, because we need to address many concerns for future elections, especially with things like voting signature verification and ballot harvesting and the security of drop boxes and so forth. Those are legitimate concerns over the 2020 election cycle. But I bring that up Because even though I disagree on with those who think, say, the election was stolen or what have you, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be allowed to express their views, to raise questions, to put forward challenges. That's why on my web show that I do in partnership with the Washington Examiner, Jimmy at the Crossroads, last Monday, I had Randy on along with Dr. John Eastman, who, of course, was undermined by the University of Colorado. He was their visiting scholar in conservative thought and policy at the Benson Center for Western Civilization. And I had them on to talk about Eastman's pending lawsuit against the university for stripping him of his duties. Because it is wrong in this cancel culture environment to be suppressing discussion about important issues, especially when we have a guy in Dr. John Eastman who was one of President Trump's attorneys, an attorney for the campaign of the president of the United States running for re-election, and you're going to strip him of his duties? Are you kidding me? So, yeah, I don't think this January 6th commission should move forward. It's a partisan approach, a partisan goal on the part of Nancy Pelosi, and that's all that it is. And while we're on the subject, Liz Cheney, she wasn't fired as number three in the U.S. House of Representatives for the Republicans. She wasn't fired because she doesn't believe the election was stolen. She was fired because she wasn't doing her damn job. You're supposed to actually bring cohesion, rally the troops, and go against Biden's agenda and Nancy Pelosi. And she's focused on a guy who's no longer in office constantly day in and day out and drilling her colleagues and going after her colleagues over election stuff. When people are like, let's challenge Joe Biden's agenda. Let's fight against what he's trying to do. And alas, here we are with Liz Cheney being fired for that reason. And then Elise Stefanik, great pick, I think, to be the new House Republican conference chair. I've got 1 minute to squeeze in Brian in Arvada. You're on with Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler. Real quick,
hey, Jimmy. I love your passion about this topic. And I am one that believes the election was stolen. But I'm one of those people that wants to move on from that and address the agenda. And it seems like there's people on our side that want to say, well, you have to move on from saying the election was stolen before you can say anything else. No, the election was stolen, and I want to move on from that. There's so many, you have to believe so many anomalies that Biden won than you do that Trump didn't. So, I mean, you have to believe more negatives that that Biden's legitimate than you have to do that Trump is legitimate. So, and we're called crazy. But I want to move on from that and talk about the agenda.
I just
want to talk about the agenda. Yeah. And I got Peter Boyles. I got other people on this side calling me crazy and saying I can't be a voice for the Republican Party because I won't say, I won't say a certain thing. Yeah. Liz Cheney was fired. And the biggest experiment, I'm a political science major, the biggest experiment is going to be this 2022 election. What happens? And that's going to be the biggest experiment, political science experiment, if Trump's agendas resonates or not.
Brian, because I got to run.
Right.
First of all, I respect your viewpoint. I tend to more align with Peter on the election, but I think that we need to move on. I appreciate you saying, look, we got to focus on this Biden agenda. And like I was saying, the reason why Liz Cheney was fired was because she was not focused on the Biden agenda. Full stop. And it has nothing to do with her views on the election or what have you, except insofar as she was using her view to pummel her colleagues in the House of Representatives. Brian, I got to run to break. We're out of time here, but I really appreciate the call. And I like these discussions and these important viewpoints that we need to discuss and address. We got to run to a break. Coming up in the top of the hour, Mayor Mike Kaufman of Aurora on the camping ban he has proposed. Keep it right here. News Talk 710 KNUS. Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler.